Welcome to the Traveling Black Women podcast, where we are talking to Black women around the world. I'm your host, Nadine, and I am so excited to take you on a journey with fearless Black women exploring the world. Each episode, we uncover hidden gems, share travel hacks, and hear inspiring stories from incredible travelers who look just like you. So whether you're a seasoned globetrotter or planning your very first adventure, we've got something special for you. So stay tuned and let's dive into today's episode. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Traveling Black Women podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nadine Duncan, and I am back with a great guest for you all today. Now, I know that a lot of people talk a lot about, you know, how do you travel? What do I need? And all of these different types of things. And at the last TBEX conference, I met this amazing woman, a Black woman, who knew a whole lot about dealing with points and miles and how to travel pretty much for free. So I've invited her to talk to you all because I know that this is information that we need to be great, right? So y'all, I'm going to let her introduce herself and we're going to get into some good conversation today.
So hi, everyone. I am Reese from Journey with Reese J. I like the candy. Childhood nickname I've always had, shortened for my real name, which I won't put on her my full name. But thank you for having me. First of all, it was so amazing meeting you at TBEX. Such an amazing conference. It was my first one, so I'm glad we're able to connect on your podcast. I am Reese of Journey with Reese J, where I teach my audience how to travel for free using their credit card points and miles. That includes frequent flyers and things like that. But when you hear it was formerly known as travel hacking. We mention it as award travel now because the credit cards don't like hacking near the names. So formerly known as travel hacking. So a lot of you may have been familiar with that term, may not have known what it was, but that's essentially what it was. And so just a little bit of background about me. I have a background in business and finance. I used to work in hedge fund and private equities and investments. And I also have another business. So one of the businesses I had, like starting right out of grad school, is Reese J Consulting, where I do credit repair, business credit building, helping others get access to funding, teaching financial literacy, et cetera. So I already had like a background in these things. I was already familiar with credit cards, credit card companies. And so years down the line, 2 years ago is when I started Journey with Reese J. And it started as a group. It started after my first trip that I planned. It wasn't my first time using points and miles, earning them. I had a lot of these cards and I had a lot of them, especially when I started building business credit. I had a lot of the business cards already. And so it was about learning how to maximize them, which a lot of people don't have. They're like, oh, I got points. I get points for flying. And so that's great, but you don't earn as much as maybe your cards and things like that. And so that's how I got into the industry. And like, I really loved it. And from there, I started recording my content. And that is how I started Journey with Reese J.
That's amazing. One of the things that I think was real interesting about just the fact that you're in this space is that when we think about influencers, you think about content creation, and people don't always think about them as resources right off the bat. But then when they hit Google, like I had a conversation with Tamiko the other day on another episode, they hit Google, we're the ones who are coming up, right? So even though it's content and it's influencing and all of that, at the end of the day, we are creating the resources that are more relatable, where you can say, okay, I see somebody who looks like me, who's actually doing this thing the right way, having a great time, living her life. Like, okay, now let me lean in and figure out how to do it. So you've made yourself an amazing resource in this space.
Yes. And I remember when I was looking into getting vlogging equipment. And so I was looking for reviews. I had to do a comparison. And that was my first time experience. It gave me a YouTube video and it gave me a YouTube video of a Black woman. And it gave me like her getting caught, you know, comparing the different equipment she had. So I'm like, this is my first time, you know, usually it'll give us sources. It'll give us a blog, you know, do the comparison, but it's starting to push out content from social media and platforms and things like that to give a review, which I think is extremely helpful because I want someone that looks like me. I want someone that's relatable and not just someone just pushing out a brand or a product. They can make it relatable and relatable to what I'm doing.
Right, right. All right. So tell me about your first trip. The first time you realized, wait a minute, this is a thing. Like I'm doing it.
Okay. So I've always traveled, always loved to travel. My grandmother, my mother made sure we traveled as kids, but this took it to another level. And I'll just give a set precedent before I go into my first trip. I had traveled to 7 countries before I started the points and miles game. And since then, Canada, when we met in Quebec, was 27.
Okay.
So 20 countries in 2 years is how I've traveled over $250,000 in nearly free travel. I've traveled on some of the top brands, Qatar Airways, their Q Suites, their first class A380. I've traveled on Singapore Airlines, their business class. I'm going on Emirates Game Changer New Year's Eve to go to Dubai with the private suite.
Nice.
Points and miles I only cover for taxes and fees. So I have been in this game, mastered it, learned it, and I love it. It can become addicting, and it's become a whole brand and a whole business. And I love that I'm able to talk to someone such as you and your audience, because I do want us to be more accessible to it and learn about it. Because when I took a deep dive into points and miles and learning about it, it's not a lot of us in that space. It's not a lot of us as bloggers. I went to a CardCon conference and it wasn't many of us in that space. It wasn't a lot of us in the groups and things like that who were aware. And I'll even go with us, you know, we think everything is scam. So that's
yes.
One. We had free travel, like whatever, that's not possible. I've gotten where they think it's like, oh, you get free travel from tourism boards and things like that. And it's like, that's the goal now as an influencer to get hosted and paid. But that's not what I mean when I say teach you, because everybody doesn't want to be an influencer or do travel content. And so, so I love being able to reach us and teach us as much as I can. I have, you know, a very diverse audience and I have an amazing group and, you know, things like that, my top supporters. So I love them, but I will also love more of my, you know, women and Black women to get on board and learn and maximize. Some of them do. I have a few and I love it. I'm like, okay, girl, when they know what they know. And then just taking it, helping them take it a bit further. So to answer your question, my first trip was to Hawaii. It was for my 31st birthday. And so I had just got the Southwest Companion Pass. And so we were going to Hawaii. We were going to go to, where were we going, Maui? We were going to Maui and Honolulu. So this is my first time here. And so like I mentioned with my other business and already having some of these cards, I already had points. So luckily I hadn't redeemed these set of points. And so I was like, okay, should I pay cash or should I use my points? So I knew we were using the companion pass and I had to meet a sign up bonus. I had just signed up for the Chase Business Inc. card and I had just got the companion pass. So I had got both those cards and I was like, let me see about using my points for these instead of using cash. And so when I was looking at them, I was looking at Hilton, using my Amex points. And so I was looking like, that may be too many points. My mom was like, girl, just use the points. You'll get them back. And boy, did I. I was like, okay, because these are points that I just got like the normal way, just swiping on my card, earning. But it takes you longer to earn that way. So I'll get into that later. And so, so I did the Hilton Honolulu Waikiki Village. I did that. That's right on Waikiki Beach. I did five nights there, completely free. They don't charge taxes and fees or anything. So completely free.
Nice.
And also because I had the Amex Platinum card, they give you Hilton Gold status. So we got breakfast every day for two for free. We were gold members, so we got upgraded. So I don't know if you're familiar, but like the Rainbow Tower. So we got upgraded right there to the Rainbow Tower, a higher floor. And so, so that was great. And then we did 5 days in Maui where I used my Wyndham points to stay at a Vacasa property, which is like Airbnb, and you can use your Wyndham points, which most people don't know. And so I used 67,000 points to stay five nights at a condo in Maui. Absolutely beautiful. It's a one bedroom condo for 5 days. It would have cost us $2,500 just for the 5 days in Maui. The 5 days in Honolulu would have cost us about the same or a little bit more because we were upgraded. And then the flights we paid cash for, we paid like $557. So for a trip that should have cost us well over $7,000, we only paid $557 for two of us for 10 days. And so once I learned that and seen, I kind of took a deep dive into it. I'm a big researcher and I just went like, I took a deep dive into it. And I'm like, these, you know, this is how far the points can go. So I was doing a little bit of it, but on a different level. I was already making sure if they say, oh, we're going to give you cash back if you spend $3,000. I made sure I got my cash back. I made sure I hit my bonus, right? But I wasn't using it to the fullest potential. August 2022, we went to Cancun for my best friend's birthday. We used cash. I called American Express like, hey, I want to redeem 65,000 points because I want a Neiman Marcus gift card. I had a separate Neiman Marcus gift card from a previous purchase, so I was going to put them together and go get it back. And so I asked Carter Express everything. So 65,000, let's just say one-to-one, 65,000 points is worth $650 if you redeem it for cash. So I name the numbers just to give it to you. So 65,000 points is how much for a $650 gift card. So I put them together. I got a YSL bag. You couldn't tell me nothing. Okay, like I'm like, I got this bag pretty much for free. You know what I'm saying? And so I still had to put money with it, but it was the bulk of it was covered with my points. I'm like, I got this bag for free using my points, da da da, right? So fast forward when I got into this game, I've used 20,000 points to fly round trip to Paris, Milan, and Switzerland. We just had to cover the taxes and fees. I'm going to Greece in August. I use 60,000 points, actually a little bit less with bonuses to fly business class to Greece. So any long haul flight, baby, I need to be laying flat or I'm not going. So 60,000 points covered a $4,000 or $5,000 flight for me versus I just said a 65,000 points that I redeemed for a gift card only got me $650. So the points go way further when you redeem them for travel by transferring them directly to the travel partners.
Okay.
And so once I learned that, baby, game over. Like, okay, I'm learning I'm learning everything with it. It's travel hacking, as I mentioned, or award travel, is essentially you sign up for the card. It may say like, hey, you spend $4,000 in 3 months, you'll get 60,000 bonus points, right? That's going to add up fast than if you're just charging dollars on a card that only gets you one or even two. Let's say it gives you two times back, right? If you're not working on a bonus, that's only 8,000 points versus if you had a sign-up bonus, that's 64,000 points because you got the base points and you got the bonus.
Okay.
And so, but the key to the game is like, you don't go into debt. You want to have this on your normal spending. And so that's one of the services like I offer consultation things like, so we're making sure that the cards that you get, number one, you qualify for because every bank has their own rules, but also that it's aligned to your goals. You know, there are some cards where it's like, hey, you spent $30,000 in 6 months and we'll give you this. Some people are like, I'll never touch that, right? I'll never touch that in a year. That card isn't for you, and that's okay. And knowing to say okay. And it may be a card where I have my younger cousins that's in their early 20s. You know, they may not be able to reach 4,000, right? Their bills may not be. They may be a college student, so we may need to find you a card that's like 1,500 or 2,000 or get creative in ways. But you put all your spending on that card, and then you pay it off. So you're maximizing your everyday spending to get this free travel. So you're not just going out to spend, right? You're putting your rent, you're paying a fee, but the fee is going to be outweighed if you're working on a bonus. You're putting your car insurance, your homeowner's insurance, everything goes on a card. And then you use your credit card like a debit card. So you pay it off so that you're not accruing interest because that's going to outweigh the benefits. You don't want to get into debt. You want to be paying off the cards, but you're earning. And it's like, who's going to give you that? Let's just say your tax bill is $5,000. Okay. Let's say you get this one card that gives you 100,000 points when you spend 5,000. Now that card has covered you a couple of trips, right? You can fly economy to Europe two times, round trip, right? And possibly cover some hotel stays. Where else would you get that kind of return on your money? Right. Some people don't even know that you can pay your taxes with a credit card. Now, you do get charged a small fee. But like I said, if you're earning more and significantly more than the fee, then it's worth it. And it has to be worth it to you, right? Like, it doesn't benefit me unless it benefits me. So if you're not interested in travel, you may be like, hey, I'm cool with a cashback card. It's complex because this game is complex. And so that's why I teach it. That's why I have my blog that has tons of resources. And I'll make sure we drop it here. My blog, my private group has tons of resources. And it's a friendly, beginner-friendly group because you can get into some of these groups and they're very snooty. They're not helpful. And I don't play that in my group. Like, the tone, we're here to help. I'm almost always the person that's first responding. But sometimes my other group members respond like very interactive, which I love. We hold these cards, especially in the travel space, right? Because traveling Black women, I'm sure eventually they're like, hey, I need a travel card. Because that was me when I got one a year prior. I was like, okay, I'm traveling. The pandemic is slowly and we're slowly able to travel more. I need a travel card. And I'm like, I want a business travel card. So I started getting business travel cards. The bottom thing too that I always say is why I would choose a points card over cashback, at least for me, again, everybody's situation is different. Because you can always turn most of the time, so I won't say always, but if it's a flexible earning card, like let's say the Chase Sapphire Reserve and you have Chase Ultimate Reward points, you can redeem those points for a statement credit back to your card. You can redeem it for gift cards or you can redeem it for cash where they'll deposit the cash. So if you have 100,000 points, you could tell Chase like, hey, redeem these, give me $1,000, right? You can't do that in the reverse. You can't change cashback cards to points. And so I like that flexibility. So if an emergency happened and you're like, hey, I got this card, so that I could travel and so I could use the points. But right now, I need to redeem some of it. And sometimes life happens and some people do that. They may be like, I have to redeem a portion of it. That's just the situation right now. And so that's where I come in at, because not like you're blindly out there, or you got a lot of resources. There are tons of great points and mouths, because that's how a lot of times I learn. But you want to vet them, but also do your own research. Even if it's me, yeah, always fact check, do your own research. And I love AI down, okay? I love ChatGPT. But you have to fact, I call her. You have to fact check her too. Even if you tell her to fact check, you have to fact check her. She, a lot of times, will give you the link to the source she went to. Go to it, but it could be outdated information. Just like any game, the information out there could be outdated. So want to make sure that it's current and updated information, because just like cash, points and mouths are a form of currency. They have value. And just like your money sitting and hoarding can lose value over time, so can your points. So that's also a nature of the game. You know, they're always changing it. They're changing their value. Like Emirates, before, you could transfer your American Express to Emirates for 1-to-1, meaning every 1,000 points you transfer from American Express, you get 1,000 Emirates points. Well, in October, they're changing that. From every 1,000, you're going to get 800, I believe. They did like a 5-to-4 ratio instead of a 1-to-1.
Yeah.
But that's because, too, I think they're catching on that a lot of people are getting into this game.
Yeah.
They don't like it. And so they're cracking down, making it less accessible. And so, unfortunately, it's like that's the nature of the game. And so that's why I don't recommend what we call in the award travel space is earn and burn. Right. Like, don't hoard your points. I know you may have a plan for them. I don't recommend you're just out there burning sporadically. I try to squeeze out the most value out of my points possible. But I also, that is an example of why we don't hoard, because they're always changing the game and the values and things like that. There's families sitting in first class, or there's families going on these amazing trips, and you're maybe saving for a whole year to take your families, and you don't know they paid less to sit in those seats than you paid for your whole vacation that you saved the whole year for. You know, so it's definitely when you get into it and you know what you know, you take a deep dive and you do your research, you find people like me, and we're going to teach you. We're not gatekeeping over here. We're going to put you on game so you could do the same too.
As much as I've traveled, I have not maximized my points in flights and points and miles as much as I should have.
Yeah.
I have used them for, like, with my MS card, taking a portion off a flight. So I might use them and, like, take off half.
Uh-huh.
I've used them for free flights with my American Express Delta Sky Miles card, but I haven't really maximized it. I'm still in the back, balled up, girl. So while you in the front, laid out, getting your champagne before the flight even take off, I'm in the back with three crackers and some ginger ale talking about, excuse me.
Yeah. Right.
With my knees on my chin.
You know, you could be right in the front too. Sipping on Qatar A380, sipping on Ace of Spades. Let me tell you, that experience on the Ace of Spades, only woman, I know it was one other woman up there, was the only black woman, of course, riding seat 1A, 1K, whatever it was. And it was, I knew I had learned about it, you know, because every aircraft is different. It's the one with the upper deck, with the bar in the sky.
So
when she asked me what I wanted to drink, I had some rosé at first, but then I got the Ace of Spades. And when I tell you just the difference in the service, I didn't drink it like that. That was like my second leg, and I was tired of drinking. I was tired of drinking champagne. But I had to get it. I mean, I had to get me some Ace of Spades. I had that sit there a little bit. She's like, I'm going to swap your champagne out because I'm sure it's warm. Like, what? You know, like, I wasted that. Like, I was just going to drink it. But she made sure I was topped off the whole flight. Like, they just gave impeccable service. Like, when I went to the bar, they were, like, warming up my food because they'll ask you when you want it. And she was like, you want me to call up to the front and ask them, is your food ready? So I'm expecting when I walk up there, my food ready. She's like, oh, no, I'm going to bring it out when you sit down and set it out there for you. Like, all the things, honey. It was top tiers for my birthday.
Nice.
Amazing experience.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
And I got a video on my page, too, of, like, my experience and stuff like that. And I always put, like, how many points I use for the flights. I think it was like one. That one was like 110 or so, 114. And like $200-something taxes and fees. But that was for the entire leg. I went from Chicago to Doha. I had an amazing layover in Doha. I had the layover in Doha, and then I went from Doha to Bangkok. And so I was in the Qatar Q Suite on the first leg. And then I was on the upper deck A380 first class from Doha to Bangkok. I mean, at some point, it don't even feel like I was on a plane. Like,
wow, I would imagine
it went by so fast. That flight was like 6 hours, But like, you forget that you're on a plane. It was a top tier, amazing experience.
I would imagine. Now, here's the question that I have. What is the difference, though, between points and miles? Is it just the way that the company calls it, or is there an actual difference between earning points versus earning miles?
So there is. So miles are typically going to be what you earn from your airlines, and it's also how they call it, right? Like Hilton, right? They call them Hilton Honors Points. You have American Airlines. Those are American Airlines Advantage Miles. You have Delta Sky Miles. You have your United. So usually the miles are the airlines, but some airlines may call them points, like, or like British Airways or Qatar are called Avios. So it's really the coin and the name for the currency of how they call it. Usually the points are going to be the hotels, but also when you're earning them with your credit card, unless it's a co-branded card, like the Delta Sky Miles, right? That is a co-branded card. So it only earns miles. Versus your American Express Platinum card or your American Express Gold card earns membership reward points. Chase cards earn Chase Ultimate Reward points.
Okay.
Now, the difference, one that's a little bit different, like Capital One, they call their points miles. So Capital One miles, but those are flexible too. You can transfer those. Yeah.
Okay. Now, how do you keep track of all of it? Because I have right now four cards. I have two business, two personal. Where I collect all my travel points and miles. But I don't do a good job of keeping up with it. Like, I went and looked at my Delta the other day, and I was like, oh, I got like 7,000 miles left.
Yeah. you're creating trackers, and I'm starting to create them to be digital products so that people can purchase them for a small fee. I did create my own trackers, and so, like, my students have them. So I do have, like, my points who sign up for my course. When they sign up for my course, I give them, like, a sub, which we call, it's a lot of acronyms in this space, but, like, a sign-up bonus tracker. So they keep track of the cards, when they got them, when they opened them, when they got approved, and when they need to meet the bonus buy. So I have a tracker with that. And then in that tracker, you know, tracking the points that you end up having with the different, you know, your Chase points, your Amex points, your Hyatt points, your Sky Miles, you know, all the things, like all the points. I have a tracker with that as well. And then I have a tracker where I track like my redemption. So like when I use my points, like, okay, I used 114,000 points to go from Chicago to Bangkok. This flight would have cost $10,000. I used X amount of points. This is how much I paid to get the value. To number one, to get the value, but to keep track of where my points, so I can say like I've got over 250,000 in nearly free travel since 2023. And the reason we say nearly free is because most hotels, excluding Marriott, we don't pay resort fees or taxes and fees versus the Hilton, Hyatt. You don't pay taxes and fees when you use your points. But when you fly with your flights, you have to pay the taxes and fees. I'm sure if you're aware. So like if it's domestic, and let's say you're going from Chicago to Atlanta and you're using your you're on Southwest and you're using your Rapid Reward points, you may redeem that, you know, that $5.60. So you still have to pay taxes and fees on that money. And sometimes those taxes and fees and surcharges could get high. Like the most I've paid is like $800 for taxes and fees, but that's for Emirates. That's for the Emirates Game Changer First Class. And that flight should cost me about $14,000. So, I mean, $800 for that experience.
Drop in the bucket.
Yeah, drop in the bucket. Right. Okay. And then the point.
I love that.
So, yeah.
All right, so let's do a scenario real quick because I'm loving this. And it's crazy that as much as I travel, that I haven't tapped into this space. Like, so just hearing you talk right now, I'm like, Nadine, what have you been doing? Why are you balled up in 34A when you could have been up there in Ace of Spades too?
Look, and let me say, it is level to this. Okay, since then, I've gotten airline status. I have been a United 1K member. I am American Airlines. I'm Executive Platinum. That's not that is the highest you can get without being invited. The highest you get is a concierge key. That's where they invite you. Now that you're going to have butts in the seat. Okay. But the highest I've got is like Executive Platinum. I've been Southwest A-list. I never got to those things until I learned this game. There's way to get status. There's way to status match. Not to mention, I don't know if we got time for that. Cruises. Okay. I would say right now, my mother is on a free cruise that I help her get. Okay. Her husband is in Alaska right now. Free 10-day cruise on MSC in Alaska.
I never that's right. I know that's right.
Last year, we took a free one. We went to, me and my family, we went to Virgin. That was the first free one. We did the Virgin Voyage. We did the Celebration Cruise. Richard Branson was on board. Our time was had, okay? And then my second one I just did was in March. And that one, we started in Puerto Rico. And we went to like 6 different islands with St. Martin, St. Lucia, Barbados, St. Kitts and Nevis, and the French Martinique. And that one, I paid $108. I just had to pay the taxes and fees. And I had a balcony terrace.
I know that's right. Okay, yeah. So scenario. So you're getting ready. It's 2026. You're getting ready to plan a trip. Let's say it's your birthday. What are the steps that you generally take to start planning, use those points? Like, what should people know?
Okay, so I'll take it. So I'll take it a step. So I'm going to break that into 2 scenarios.
Okay.
If you're just now planning and you have points, okay, now we're going to start our search. But if we want to plan and we don't have points, we're going to go in 2025 and get us some travel cards, earning points so that we could use them for 2026.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
The scenario where you have the points already and you're like, hey, I want to start redeeming them, you'll start running your searches. And so you'll just go to, and I have all these resources. I'll give you guys my website. I have a paid course, but I also have tons of resources on my website. And so you'll just click where, if it's Southwest, you'll put points. You know, if it's American Airlines, you'll click redeem miles. Every website is going to be different. And so you'll put your dates in and everything, but they usually have a section where you can say points or miles or whatever they're called, their currency is called. And so you'll run your searches that way. And so you'll kind of see how much those cost. And the hotels are the easiest. The airlines could get a bit complex, especially when we're talking about the business and the first class, and sometimes booking with partners. Like, I would recommend starting as early as possible, but sometimes I'm last minute and I've had like last minute availability. So some will tell you like, oh, you need to start planning a year in advance. But everything for my recent birthday trip, I went to Thailand, Singapore, Bali, and Doha, completely points and miles. That I started planning like December. So December is when I started booking my flights, start getting my hotels and things together. That was in December. My birthday was in April. So like 4 months ahead. Okay. So, you know, sometimes it could limit your flexibility, especially if it's more people. But outside of that, you know, just run your searches, play around with it, do it earlier. Like on that trip, I actually booked for Maldives about 65,000 points in Qatar Q Suites and first class again, just 65,000 miles to go to the Maldives.
Mm,
yeah.
Nice.
So that I booked in a year in advance. As soon as they opened their books up, I went ahead and grabbed us because I want us to be in a quad, the seats together, like right next to each other. So I didn't want to risk, like, you know, it's sometimes, of course, easier when you solo and it's just one person. But when it's a lot of you, you want to start early.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Especially with your flight.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So now for those who don't have, where's a good place to start?
The top ones I always recommend is the Chase Sapphire. However, Chase has different rules. Every bank has different rules. And that's what makes me different than someone else that's going to tell you, like, hey, girl, go apply for this Chase card. And I don't even know if you qualify. So even if you got the credit score, because I have people like, I got an 800 and this and that, and they decline me. Well, if you open more than 5 cards in the last 24 months with any issuer, so Chase has this rule called the 5-for-24 rule, meaning if you apply for more than 5 cards with any issuer, they will not approve you for a card in the last 24 months. So we call that 5-for-24. So sometimes people get into this game, a lot of it, and they'll be like, oh, I wanted to start. So I got the American Airlines card. I went and got a Delta card, and I went and got a Marriott card. Now you 3-for-24 already, and you got cards that you opened 2 years ago. So now you already knocked yourself out. There's still options, but that's one of the ones that I usually say start with so that you could get out of that room. Like, start with the good one. You know, sometimes they're tougher with approval. Start there, and then we branch out to the other ones. But I always recommend you start with flexible points and miles. And what that means is co-branded is Delta. A Delta card is issued by American Express, right? But it is, you only earn Delta SkyMiles. Versus the American Express Platinum is a flexible card, meaning that you earn membership reward points. You can redeem them from gift cards, statement credit, you can erase your purchases, but you can transfer them to partners. And they have about 10, 11 partners that you can transfer them to, such as Marriott, Hilton. You can transfer Amex points to Delta. So you see why it's like, I'd rather have the Amex points because I can redeem them for Delta, but I can also cover my hotel. Versus you get this Delta card, you only covering that Delta flight. And Delta flights are not the best when it comes to using points and miles. So that's the whole nother topic. But
yeah.
So yeah, you want that flexibility. Same with like Chase, right? You get the Chase Sapphire tools because they have some of the best partners. Marriott, they got Hyatt, which I love. They got Flying Blue. They have where you could get Avios. They got Southwest. They got United. So it's like instead of getting a United credit card, especially in the beginning. Now I'm not gonna say you're not gonna end up with these cards. You may get them because a lot of people come in and like, I'm a diehard Marriott fan. Like I'm a Marriott person. I want a Marriott card. Okay, we could get that down the line because we don't want to knock you out of 5 for $24 and that you got a bunch of points from Marriott. But what about your flights? What about somewhere? Well, Marriott has the biggest footprint, but what if you go somewhere that doesn't have a Marriott and now you can't use your points, right?
Yeah.
So you want that flexibility, even though like I'm a Hyatt girly. I love Hyatt. They got some of the best points. And miles, you could stay for 3,500 points somewhere at their category one. Yeah, it's a category one, but that's as low as it go versus the Marriott going to be like 40,000 points. You see, like,
oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Everybody is on different levels, right? So I love a Hyatt, but they don't have the biggest footprint. That would be Hilton and Marriott. So like when we went to Virgin Islands, we had to stay at a Marriott because that's really the only thing there. When we just went to Quebec, they didn't have a Hyatt. Because if they did, I would have stayed at Hyatt. I stayed at the Hilton. So I still was able to use my points and stay at Hilton because I got flexible points. So I could stay anywhere, any brand, any airline, I could fly, you know. Number one is starting out with flexible currency. Do your research. Start out with flexible currencies, you know, start out with the Chase Sapphires. A lot of people will push the Amex Platinum. That is not a starter card. So you will hear me say that. That is not a starter card. Reason being, that fee is $695.
Oh, okay. It's $95 now?
Yes, $695, and it may be going up, okay? So, granted,
the perks are worth it, but
that's why I mean it gotta be worth it too. Like I have the business one and I get over $1,400 of value, not to mention we get Avis status. So when I rent my cars, baby, I don't go to that line, I go straight to my car, pick it on the app. I think it's Hertz is one of them, like the intangible things, not just the money and the credits. We get Hilton Gold status. We get Marriott Gold status. They got some of the best protection out there with anybody, whether it's purchase protection, travel protection, all the things with that, not to mention the different airline credits, the Dell credits, and the lounge access and stuff like that. But it has to work for you. And somebody that's just not getting into the game, you know, and when I first started, when I was getting my credit cards, I got all the cards that didn't have a fee. So we got to build you up from the $95 fee. That was me younger. Now, I wouldn't bat an eye if a fee is like $800 if I know I'm going to get the value. Not to mention the sign-up bonus. The sign-up bonus is one thing. You giving me 200,000 points. That right there, you know what I could do with that? You know, not to mention all the credits and the lounge access and the credits you're going to get with the Amex Platinum, with the Dell credit that they have. I've bought my Bose headphones with that. This chair I'm sitting in came off of there. My docking station, my Alexa Echo Show, the big one that moves with you. I got that off Dell. A lot of people won't realize like Dell has all these things, but I'm able to cover that for free with my credit with my Amex card.
And you know what's interesting? I think the one thing that is not really understood is that you've already spent this money by paying for your everyday things. And you said that in the beginning, but I feel like it has to click because that part I understood. I just didn't maximize it. But it's like, I'm already spending this money and it's coming back to me because now I'm using it as points. But now here's the one thing that I've always wondered about. I have not had the need to close a credit card. But when I was younger and I was like, okay, I got to get rid of this, I got to get rid of that, you know, just stuff that I had left over from college and yada, 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 you know, I closed those cards. So now that I'm using cards, you know, for my benefit, I don't see a need or a desire to close them. But I'm sure that there are some people that might open it up some, use it, earn and burn, like you said, but then kind of be like, okay, I need to get rid of it. Do you advise that?
Yep. So that's because that's called sometimes churning too, because sometimes people want to apply for the same card to get the bonus. Now you can't do it right away. Every bank has rules like the Chase Sapphire. You can't get the bonus if you got it for years, right? But some people will get into the game, right? And they're like, I had the Chase Sapphire for 10 years. Okay, well, we're going to downgrade or cancel that card. Not if it's your oldest though. And that's why I say the difference with me is I'm still coming from the mindset of credit repair, credit consulting. I'm not going to tell you to close your oldest card, but what we can do is downgrade that card. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we could go apply again so you could get the bonus. because you qualify.
Okay.
Yeah, but your oldest cars, we not touching those. So my oldest was, I was 18 in college. My first car going to college is Discover. Longest car, I don't use it, but it's my oldest car. So that card is, I'm not going to say the age, but the card is over 10 years old. You know, it's my oldest car, so I'm going to keep it. And so if you get value out of it, as long as, you know, some of them will close. So I have had cars closed because I don't use them anymore. So you're not also not going to close your car that got like the highest limit, right? Because now you're going to drag down your credit score because of your availability and all those things. So it's other factors to it, but there's ways to do it to have like minimal impact. That is a good segue to people like, okay, well, I know this give you bad credit. This is a pay to play. You have to have good credit to be in this game, right? And so it's so many people with 800 credit scores, and the credit scores are great. Your credit score may take a ding for inquiries, but outside of that, it's going to bounce back. These are considered premier cards, right? To be able to hold the American Express Platinum and the Gold, you have to have great credit.
Yep.
You know, and sometimes even great credit, Amex be like, I don't know you as a customer yet. Let's start with a basic card. Then we can talk about getting a big dog, you know? Yeah. So it's levels to it. I don't want people to be blindly applying or things like that. To be like, I applied for this and I got denied. And it's like, had you told me before you applied, I would have told you not to apply. Or I would have gave you another option.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
I would have gave you another, like, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. You know, I would have gave you another option. And sometimes me and my people, we be going through the list ops. Like, we're going to figure it out. Especially once they start having so many different cards, or you may get to a point where it's like your score is good, nothing, but they just like, I've lent you as much, we've extended as much limit to you that we're willing to extend, you know, and that's, that's a thing, a real thing too, because people, again, they get so offended. My 800s get so offended, like they denied me. I don't want to work with them. And it's just like, it is not that. It is so many different factors that that's your score, even if you don't got no balance. That could be a red flag. You don't got no balances on your car, but you got access to $100,000 in credit. Why do you need more credit? You don't even use the credit you have. But also, you have access to $100,000 in credit, but you don't. You only make $150,000 a year, if that. Now you have way too much credit to your debt. To, and you know what I'm saying? Your ratio. Yeah. So like their credit risk exposure is too high. And so it's just helpful to learn instead of just being like, get on TikTok, like, oh, I got this Chase preferred card and I did this. And I just be sitting back looking like, that is not it, baby. Don't do that. And then they, or some people like, I got this card and now I did such and such. And it just be like, but you didn't get advisement or look first. Like, I understand, you know, people don't want to pay. They want to teach yourself, because I teach myself. But the benefit that you have someone like me or a certified bloggers out there that's been in this space is you get the benefit from my mistakes. And so that very first trip with Hilton, I'll go back to that. I had transferred my points over. And so Hilton has where if you stay five nights, your fifth night is free. So you only need to cover four nights with points. Hilton has that and Marriott. Hilton, it has to be a standard availability, though. It cannot be premium. And so the representative didn't even know that. So she told me like, oh, so when it wasn't working and it said I still needed more points, I called in. She was like, oh, you need to have the points available and then it'll refund you the points. So at that point, I actually had purchased points. So I had, I'm like, I'm not trying to turn on my points because remember, this is a little bit, this take most of my points away. So I'm like, I purchased the points. They had like a little sale, a couple hundred dollars. I purchased the points. And so I pay for it. I don't get my points back. It miraculously, I've been on the phone with her for like an hour, the call disconnected. Now, me being me, baby, I report them to the Better Business Bureau, reach out to your corporate, because somebody going to refund my money and give my points.
Right.
So I ultimately got all that back, but it was just to say, the corporate told me, they're like, we're sorry, what she misinformed you is you get the fifth night free on standard availability. That was premium. And so therefore, you had to cover the five nights and you ain't getting none back. I got it back because of the courtesy. Like, they can see I transferred points. You see I bought points. And you see I was on the phone. It was a whole ordeal. Right. But it's like, you benefit because I was new to the space. I didn't know. And that could have been a very costly mistake. Gotcha. So common mistakes people make, transferring all their points. Like, oh, I'm going to transfer all my points to United. Well, now they stuck there. And then let's not even talk about the airlines that their points expire if you don't use them. So this one guy was saying he had a ton of American airline points, didn't use them. They expired. They was beyond the point of reinstatement. And they told them no. like they're not reinstating, so you lost all your points. And so transferring points is a one-way street. So when you transfer points, they're stuck there. So you want to make sure, like I said, you start with running your searches, you know how much is needed, and you transfer them. Don't just transfer and move all your points, and then they are stuck there, because you want that flexibility. And you can't transfer them back. So United can't send your points back to Chase. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So Delta can't send your points back to American Express. So they just stuck with Delta. And in that instance, I was so mad at Hilton. I was like, you canceled the whole thing. But it was just like American Express was like, no, unfortunately, even with this, we can't get your points back. So it's like I was stuck with it. So I was really upset. And so, you know, still resilient. I still had an amazing time. And by the time I returned from it, everything from my trip, everything was resolved. But you get to learn from those type of mistakes and common things that people will make getting into this game. And so I've even seen people like, oh, yeah, do you know they ain't getting the bonus for this card? I'm like, what card? I didn't even know. They had them apply for the same card two times, back to back. I didn't even know they would approve you that close for the same card back to back. I said, yeah, because you can't get the same card, the same bonus back to back. I didn't even know they would approve you for that card again. So when they spent the money and hit the bonus and they didn't get no points, and they're like, no. But I'm like, that's because you're just out here, use my referral and sign up. And it's just like not knowing that person's situation. And now she just signed up for a card there and spent $4,000. Yeah. And she ain't got no points to show for it besides the base point. And now you've added to your 5 for 24. So,
okay, so this is a game for like, yeah. You got to know how to play the game. You got to know how to play the game. This, yeah.
Yes. Like, we got to get you together because you travel too much to not get you together. Okay.
Okay.
Your points and miles strategy. You travel way too much to not maximize those benefits. And like you said, this is money you're already going to be spending.
Yeah.
Right. I have people who, when I tell you when tax time comes, they may get 2-3 cards, which I get it, because now it's going to take you and your family to Italy for like a month.
Oh, wow. Right.
I've had different levels with gift cards. Like there's one card that gets you 5 times the points on gift card.
Uh-huh.
So they may not be working on a bonus, but they could buy these gift cards and use them for their everyday purchases. Where are you going to get that kind of time return on investments on something you got to pay anyway?
True.
Yeah. So, but again, on the flip side, it's how you're doing it. You're using your credit card as a debit card, meaning you pay it off.
And you don't use that debit card at all.
You're not accruing. Yes, you're not accruing debt. You know, so for me, I barely use my debit card. I never, especially for the protection. Like, I know that if something happens, American Express got me, or this, especially in foreign countries.
Right.
And so I have my keeper cards that I keep in my wallet, you know, and keep on me when I travel wherever I go. You know, I got my card. They give me 5 times the points at hotels. So then we start, if we're in a space where we're like, okay, I'm not going to get all these cards right now. I want to take a break or whatever. How you feeling in that moment? It's like, okay, maximize what you have.
Right.
When you're like on a break. So if I'm not working on a bonus, you know, I got this card is going to give me 3 times the points on travel. That's going to be my Airbnbs, my hotels, airlines. But I have a card that gives me 5 times the points on hotels and 4 times the points on airlines.
Mm.
I got this card, what I'll call like a catch-all card, that gets 2 times on everything. But that card gets charged foreign transaction fees. So that card don't come with me out the country.
Okay.
I don't want to pay foreign transaction fees.
Okay.
So I leave that card at home. But I keep my ones on me. And I always travel with the Amex card.
Mm-hmm.
Because to get in the lounge, but also just like my Amex. But a lot of countries, people are like, oh, I can't use my Amex. 99% of the time in the places that I have traveled to, I haven't had problems using my Amex unless it's like a smaller business or something like that. But like the hotel going to take it, the airline going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So it could just depend. But I always keep my Visa and my Chase FI Preferred. I keep that in my wallet.
Okay.
And a couple other ones, but I keep any card, no foreign transaction fees, that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
But also my one that's going to keep me earning, and a higher one that gets me, you know, travel protection and all those things. You want to make sure that you're keeping those cards on you as well.
Okay. So the main things that I'm hearing from you is that people need to really grasp in all of this is accountability, having that financial like responsibility, right? So, and then of course, knowing what you actually have in your pocket. A lot of times we get things, whether it be a credit card or anything else, and we're not reading and paying attention to, I won't even call it the fine print, because sometimes it'd be right there in Times New Roman size 12. and you still didn't read
the benefits
it.
Be right there.
Yeah,
like, I don't even know this. You know how many people will pull out? I've had one of my family friends come over, and she pulled out her cards, and I'm just like, so you go sit with the commoners, and you got lounge access, and don't even know it. So you go sit and go pay for food and drink.
Yeah.
When you could go, yeah, you sit with Gym Pop, when you could go sit in the lounge and get drinks and food for free.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
what I'm hearing. You may go take a shower.
Yeah.
So baby, the lounges in Singapore got a nap room. Okay?
Oh, wow.
When I went to the lounge in Doha, honey, they had a jacuzzi. I went and got it. They went in the jacuzzi. Some of them got to give you massages, free massages. Okay. So what make them. What I say is put those cards to work.
Yeah.
Make those benefits. Because outside of the sign-up bonuses, the cards have value too. They have credits. The Chase Sapphire, a lot of people don't know if they hold that. You get $10 a month for DoorDash and you get a DoorDash pass.
Yeah.
For like to 2026.
Yeah. I shamelessly use that.
So I just ordered some body lotion to be delivered. Just those type of benefits as well, not to mention the other benefits that these cards come with. Mm-hmm. You still got all those other benefits like that as well. Like my Amex Gold gives me $20 either at office supply stores or a Grubhub. So if I'm not traveling and ordering out and I'm at home like I did this week, I was in Office Max. I grabbed a $20 card to use at Bloomingdale's and Macy's or whatever, and I just charge it to that card. They're going to give me the $20 back. Like, it's so much. And all you got to do is go look at your benefits.
And so that where whole you find long this list of rewards, yep.
Yes, you log into your portal.
Mm-hmm.
You log in your portals, and they either have, like, rewards or benefits. Like, if it's Amex, you go to your Amex at the bottom. It'll say, like, rewards, benefits. Go down your list of benefits that your cards offer, because a lot of times people don't even notice this.
Mm-hmm.
Put those things to work. And then if go down also on the flip side. You holding all these cards, and you may be paying fees, and if you're not getting the value out of them, cancel them. Yep. Not if they're your oldest, remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Analyze what you have now and see what you could either get rid of or you could just downgrade. You know, there are some cards where, you know, you could downgrade to a fee-free card. So like the Chase Sapphire, I wouldn't say downgrade to get rid of that.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I don't want to pay that no more, whatever, you can downgrade that to like the Freedom card. And you don't have to pay an annual fee. So you still keep the credit line. You still keep the history. They do just product change the card.
Okay.
So, you know, you want to go through those things too to see if it's working from you. A lot of people may start to feel like, you know what, this ain't benefiting me. My mom is one of them because, like, when she goes, she rarely go to the lounge because she ain't that early enough. everywhere I go, I'm scouting out the lounge.
Okay? Right, same here.
Even if I just go use the bathroom and go get me some water to put in my cup, I'm going in the lounge. I get it. If it doesn't benefit you, it doesn't benefit you. And so this is where people get it too. They think they're going to get the bonus and then either downgrade or cancel the card. Legally, when you apply for a credit card, you are agreeing to hold it for at least 1 year.
Okay.
After your anniversary rolls around, you have 30 days after you are charged that fee to determine if you want to get rid of it, if you want to product change it, whatever.
Okay.
Get a retention offer, but you have to hold that card at least 1 year. You are agreeing to that. I know most people don't read the agreement. You are agreeing to that when you apply, because you'll have some people do that. Like, I tried to cancel this card, and I don't want it no more. Like, and they'll tell you can't cancel.
Okay.
So, regardless,
that's good to know, because I don't think I knew that. I didn't know that at all. So that's good to know.
Yeah, but it was the CARD Act in 2009, or I forgot what year, but a part of that CARD Act is legally you are agreeing to keep that card for at least a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up, this has been great, first of all. I've learned a lot myself. Like, I'm going to play this back and, like, go through, take some notes, like, all the things. But how can people reach you?
Because I know you joined a group.
Yeah, yes, I'm in a group now, too. So, yes.
Yes. So you can find me everywhere, Journey with Reese J. So that's everything spelled out, but Reese, like the candy. So it's Journey with Reese, reesej.com.
Okay.
And at the top of my website, it has all the links to my social, but everything, I am Journey with Reese J on, including my Facebook group. My Facebook page is Reese Johnson. Sometimes that's kind of harder to find, but once you find a group and stuff like that, you can find me. I'm on all socials. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Threads. I'm on everything. But if you start with my website, you can reach me, email me. That's how you can contact me and find everything.
Okay, excellent. And the links will be down below in the comments as well as in the description on the podcast. So that'll make it easier for you too. But if you're listening and you're driving and you don't have the time to really look through the description, you heard it here. Journey
Yes.
With ReeseJ.com, correct?
Yes.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Reese, thank you so much. This was really, really good. Like, I don't know why I haven't dipped my toe in as much. I guess I didn't really, I thought I was doing enough, but you have just opened my eyes. Like, no, girl, you can do a little more.
And it's a lot of us. I was the same way.
Yeah.
It was a lot of us, you know, and so even though it's ever changing, it's still a great game to get into, especially because you already have these benefits.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are like that, and that's why I want to bring awareness to it, because a lot of times some people ear turn off, like points and miles, I got points and miles.
Yeah.
Credit card, I don't want a credit card, or you're going to go into debt and this and that. And it's just like, if you create the program, and like you said, I love that you led with accountability. If you have that financial accountability for yourself and these things, like, start there, you're spending it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, I got to pay my rent. At the end of the day, I have to pay, you know, I have to pay my car note. I have to pay taxes. I have to, you know, pay for these things, my hair, nails. Look, my nail tech, no, she'd be like, you using a credit card? She'd be like, you got a gift card today? Because sometimes I got a gift card. But it's like, where else am I gonna get 5 times back on my nails at? Nowhere.
Right.
So, yeah. Here's this gift card. And you may gotta split up the transaction.
That's right. That is hilarious. But you do have to make your money work for you.
I got the points I need. All the points.
I know that's right. I know that's right. You gotta make it work for you.
I'll give this out in with this note.
Okay.
My birthday, we went to brunch.
Uh-huh.
It was an expensive little brunch. And so my friend's like, just let Reese give her, let's sell Reese the money so she could get her point. And the bill was quite high. And I used my Amex Gold to get 4 times on dining.
Okay.
And it was about a $1,500 bill. That bill paid for my flight to Toronto in business class.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
Like, thank you, man. That is one of the best gifts you can give me.
Right. Right. I love that.
So, yes. It gets to the point, you know, then you put everybody on. Now it's like, who using their car?
Right.
Cool.
Right.
I'll be like, you know what? Well, if that, I don't care. You know, I get it. You want your points, but I want them to split and charge mine to my car because I want my points. I ain't got cash.
I know that's right. Especially, you know, when you know the restaurants are doing 3 and 5 times and all of that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then, especially if you're working on a bonus, I got to hit my bonus.
Yes.
If somebody working on a bonus and needed to spend $4,000, $1,500 paying the bulk of it, and it
that's
ain't
almost
even
half.
Your money.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
I even had some people where they got in the game and it's like, oh, I paid my sister rent and I paid my best friend rent and they gave me their money and you hit your bonus. And now you coming with me to Barcelona and Ibiza.
Boom.
You know, like, hey, you got to get creative.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
You got to make this game work for you.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But Rissy, I am so grateful that you was here today to just share this all with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I hope somebody took something from this. You know, like I said, come join the group. Come follow me. I share these things. I'm very, you know, you can reach out to me if you have questions. It's so amazing to look in my group and see that I have people all over the world.
Yeah. That's what's up. Well, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Traveling Black Women Podcast. I really hope that you've gotten something from this. I mean, y'all, there is no excuse why we can't see the world, why we can't travel the world. Whatever it is, whether it's points and miles, just doing regular savings, whatever. Now you have options.
Yes.
That's what is important to me, that you have the resources to make it do what it do.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, y'all take care. Thank you, Reese.
Of course, no problem. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Traveling Black Women Podcast. You can find us online at www.travelingblackwomen.com. And there you can find plenty more travel resources to help you plan your very next trip. We've got travel guides, we've got a blog, we got our blog, and you just listened to our podcast. I look forward to seeing you around. Thanks for tuning in.